Okay, we need to go. We've got a lot of content still to finish. We're going to talk about XHR. XHR is a function given to you by WinJS, but it's really just a wrapper around the XML HTTP request object that's been around for a really long time. It's a little bit painful to use that by itself, so WinJS wraps it with XHR. It's wrapped in almost every JavaScript library we know. It's in jQuery and Prototype, and everybody wraps the XML HTTP request. This is a really good wrapping. I really like the way this works. There is a demo in Code Show, so let's go to the very end of the list and look at winjs.xhr. These are pretty simple, but I think they'll give you a pretty thorough introduction to what it's capable of doing. We can fetch a random movie from Netflix. We got The Mafia. We can fetch the Microsoft logo, supposed to say logo, Microsoft logo from Microsoft.com. So we just went and grabbed, stripped an image off of somebody's, off of a website and put it in here. Let's fetch a file from this package. That's an HTML file in this package, and we just went and grabbed it and brought it in using XHR. Now let's fetch all of the Pluralsight training courses, or actually just the first five Pluralsight training courses, and list those out right here. So those are some of the things that you can do with XHR, and I just want to show you how we implemented those. I'm going to go to XHR and bring up this example called XHR. Open those all up. I'll show you the HTML. The HTML is pretty simple. It's just those four buttons and results for each of them. The CSS is a little bit more complicated because we're I tried to get fancy with grids. If I had to do over again, I would make it a little bit simpler. But I made it quite a while ago. Okay, here's the real deal. Here's the JavaScript. For the first button, this is fetching a movie from Netflix. I've shown you this already. This is where I'm selecting the top 500 movies, and all I want is their ID. I'm using the dot then hanging on XHR, and then I'm going to do a dot then again to go fetch all the information, actually just the name of the one movie that I chose at random. Now, the thing I want to show here is that XHR receives an object of parameters. And the only one that you're required to use is URL. You need to give it a URL, otherwise it doesn't know what to talk to. But in this case, we've given it a second parameter. We've given it these headers. That's because I wanted to tell Netflix that I want you to give me a result in JSON format instead of XML format, which is the default for OData. So now, by setting this header manually, I can request JSON, and that's what I'm going to get back. Now, I did not set the response type for this one, and the response type by default is text. So what I get back in my promise function here, I'm calling it XHR locally, and XHR is going to be a string. Okay, it's going to be a text object. It's actually going to be an object that has a response of text hanging off of it. So XHR.response is going to end up being text that represents that message. Let me actually F9 right there, F5 to launch my app in debug mode, fetch a random movie. It went and it issued that call, and it came back, and now here I am broken at my breakpoint. And let's look at this response object. I can blow this up and take a look at what has come back for me. Does that look like JSON or what? That looks like a big list of 500 JSON objects. Now, this is a total aside, but notice how relatively heavy this OData call is. The WCF Data Services team made JSON Lite. You can look up JSON Lite. Really super exciting. It would have made this really simple JSON script, even though it's OData. So that's extremely exciting to me. But that string, that response, can be parsed using the JSON.parse function. And then from the result, there was a D wrapping the result, so we just need to dot into the D. And then we learned in the array functions course that we can map the results of this array result. And for each one, I want to return just its ID. So I don't need any of that OData metadata or anything like that. I just want to return its ID, and then from that I'm going to get random out of 500. So the thing you need to know here is that WinJS XHR took a URL and a custom header, and it returned with a response type of text. But the next one that we look at is going to be a little bit different. This one is fetching the logo from Microsoft. I'm still broken. Let's run it without debug mode now. This is WinJS XHR. Let's fetch the logo from Microsoft. It happened really quickly. Let's see what happened. I did a call to http://www.microsoft.com. But I told it, when you return me a result, I want that to be an HTML document. So it's gonna see HTML, consider this a document, and the big advantage there is that once we get this document, we're gonna be able to refer to it with our CSS selectors. Now, I've chosen to use my Q function here, but you could just as well have chosen to, instead of Q, you could say xhr.response, that's the document that came back, and off of that response, you could do a query selector for this object, and then you wouldn't need this. Okay? So this is just a regular old document, just like normally you do document.querySelector. You can do a query selector on the document that came back from this XHR call. Let's go ahead and use this one still, because I know it works. And let's see that one more time. Go fetch it. It actually does a query selector to try to find the tag called image that has a property called alt that equals Microsoft. And that's going to bring back that image tag, and then I'm going to set that. I'm going to append that image, create that image, set it, and then append that to my results panel. Okay. The third one is fetching a file from this package. So I can not only go fetch files from Microsoft and from Netflix and from Twitter and from Bing Maps and all these different places where I want to call their APIs, but I can also fetch from my project.
Wait, I'm going to hold the train? I don't understand. Why would you need to fetch something you already have? I don't get it.
It's just one way of requesting data. Actually, there are multiple ways of doing that. You could refer programmatically to your local package and access, enumerate any of the files in it. Mm-hmm. But another way to do that is to just do an XHR call and bring it back as text or as a document. Mm-hmm. One nice reason for it is because if you have XML in a file, mm-hmm. you can use XHR to call that XML and then get that back as a document, and you can parse your XML. Same thing with JSON.
Who knew?
Well, now everybody knows. Okay, so we are going to access pages, XHR, fetch me. So let's look in pages, XHR, fetch me. Now, most of these only have three things in them, but I added fetch me, and this is what it looks like. Looks like an HTML with a head and a title and a body and a div with the ID of fetch me. So let's look at how we implemented this in the JS. We used response type equals document again. And the document means, the response type document again means that when I get it back, I can query on it. So I'm going to query on it looking for the ID of fetch text. That's here. This div has the ID of fetch text. And if I grab its inner text, that's going to equal this. So it's pulling out I came from fetch me and putting that in my result pane. See that again? I came from fetch me. All right, let's get the Pluralsight training courses now. This is another OData call. This is the address. Select means that I'm only asking for the title from them, and top means that I only want the top five. I'm requesting that it is application JSON, and in fact it is. In this case, when I get that response, I'm mapping it to only consider the title property, and then I'm joining the results with commas so that when it's output on the screen, it looks like a bunch of courses separated by commas. So the types that you can use with XHR are array buffer, blob, document, JSON, MS stream, and text. So you can, text is the default. So for instance, I was getting JSON back and I was using text and I was having to parse it. You could receive that as JSON, and then you don't even have to parse it. You can also get blobs, you can get array buffers, all of these different types you can get back from an XHR call. So it's very powerful. The options that you can pass into an XHR, you've seen URL, you've seen the custom headers, and you've seen the response type. You can also pass in a user and password, if that's the way you're going to do your authentication. And you can also pass in a type. That's the type of call. All right. That should do it for the XHR. Now we're going to look at data binding and templating, and then we're going to look at fragments and page rendering.
Cool. cool.
There are, luckily, there are code show demos for each of these. So let's go take a look. Back to code show, back to the main screen. If we look at binding and templating. Binding and templating doesn't show so great when you're just looking at it here because it just looks like great. You're showing some user information. But when we go look at the code, we'll be very interested, guaranteed. Let me close this all down. Look for binding. There it is. And here we are. Now let's go look at the HTML first. In my first example, simple binding, look at what I've got. A div with an ID of person, and then some binding statements. Data, win, bind. And you've seen this before. We're setting the inner text of each of these to some property. Now, this doesn't by itself become anything. In fact, even all of these data-win control attributes or HTML attributes don't by default just become what they're supposed to be in get rendered. Michael, did we talk about how with the data win control, for instance, those don't take effect until you've processed your page?
No, we didn't really talk about
that. Let's go look at it. So you might have wondered when we were looking at the data win controls before, and you might wonder when you're looking at this, when is that done? How is that done? Who does that? Who's responsible for it? You might ask all of those questions at the same time. I'm going to jump into the default.js. And we're going to look for the part of our code that says process all. There it is. It's in your default.js. When you're using this navigation template, you don't need to worry about this. It happens automatically for you. But that process all is part of the win.js, and that's the method that's responsible for saying, I need to go look through this page and see if this developer used data win control, data win options, data win bind, any of these things that need to be processed, and it processes them right there. All right? So in this case, we're using data win bind, first name, last name, email. Let's go look at what's behind the simple binding. We're going to find it referenced with hash simple binding. So let's go look at binding.js. And for the simple binding, I guess I'm just getting it by the person ID, I'm calling explicitly process all. Even though it's already been called for the whole page and everything, I'm calling this binding process all with some custom arguments. I'm telling it I have an element called person, there it is, and I want to process that with something different. I want to process that with Fred. What's Fred? This is Fred. Fred Johnson with the email of fred@live.com is an object, a JSON object, and I'm binding it to a DOM element. So I do that. Here's my DOM element, and it handles all of this binding for me. Pretty slick. Now, similar to binding is templating. If you look down here at the templating, I've got a div that just says render here, and then I've got a template that I've built. This may very well exist in another file or something, but it looks pretty similar to this binding target that we set. And the code behind this is going to be pretty similar as well. It's going to find this template as a win control, and it's going to call that template's render function, passing in Fred, and saying where it needs to be rendered. Okay, so it's a little bit more indirect using the templating. Here's my template. Here's where I want it to go. Go render this over here. It's a little bit less direct than the process all, which just goes into your DOM and processes things that have data win bind statements. Okay, so let's look at those one more time. Fred Johnson, fred@live.com. And then we've got a person. This is the person template, Fred Johnson, fred@live.com. Those got bound correctly. Okay. Now there's one more project, one more demo in Code Show that shows off templating with a little bit of a twist. This one's called Template Items. And FYI, I'm probably going to move this into the binding and template demo eventually. This one's kind of interesting. This one's using a flex box that wraps. So it gives me this big list of tiles, and I don't know if you were able to see that those tiles actually animated on their way in. I'm going to click here to reload it and watch those animate again. It's pretty quick, the animation is, but those are animating, so they come in. It's a good subtle animation that shows the list being filled up. But my little explanation here shows that I can actually click on these to remove them. Now notice the animation that's occurring whenever I do remove those. All of my items fly around to get in their right place, and that animation kind of gives me a visual cue of what happened.
It's quite fluid.
It's quite fluid, yeah. I knew you'd think so. I'm going to jump to this one's called Template Items, and I'm going to jump directly to the JS and just show you that animation happened here. This is an animation that I'm creating. I'm doing it programmatically. Most of the animations that we showed during that part of the course were done using the CSS. Some of them were done programmatically. This one's entirely programmatic using the animation library. But the part of this that I want you to see is this. I'm dynamically creating a div. I'm creating a template based on the template in my file. Let's go look at the file. Here's a template. And then I'm rendering that template, and as the target, I'm rendering it to E. That's this div that I just created. So my target isn't a DOM element on the page, it's a DOM element in my JavaScript code. So that's really cool. So if you want to learn something from the template items, go for it. And have fun with this. I can't finish this without killing all the letters of the alphabet. it's a compulsive thing. And there we go. Now we can move on. Finally, page rendering and fragment rendering. So page and fragment rendering are in the same demo. Oh no! My demo just died. This is a great opportunity to show you the fabulous debug features in Visual Studio. I'm going to hit F5. Now I'm going to hit fragments and pages. And it's going to tell me, it's going to break on this debugger in the terminate app handler, meaning that I have an unhandled exception. And the only way to get information about that exception is to see what was passed into me. And in fact, it's saying, you have an unsupported URI for fragment loading. That's extremely helpful. That means that I can go to my fragment example, which is under fragment. And I can look at my JavaScript and notice that I was trying to render an external page. That's completely illegal. I'm not sure what I was thinking. I was just experimenting at that point, so I'll go ahead and check that in. But commenting that out should completely take care of the problem. Let's go ahead and run this again. We'll just say that was a completely planned debug session.
Well, I thought it was.
I hope you learned something.
Yeah, I thought
from
it was.
That. Yeah, it was. No, it was. Okay, so what we have here is WinJS UI fragments render. Fragments render takes a couple of things here. It says, what is the HTML fragment that you want me to render, and where do you want me to put it? Now, on my page, I'm looking for my fragment.html, and on my page, I have this UL. See that UL? Doesn't have anything in it. But I can go over here and say, I'm looking for that UL on my fragment page that doesn't have anything in it, and inside of it, I want to inject whatever I have in pages fragment li. So let's go to the pages fragment. That would be under here. And notice I have this little li.html. So if I open that, you can see that the only thing in this HTML is a couple of LIs. It doesn't have the full HTML context or anything. It's just a little snippet of HTML. And so if I want to store some HTML somewhere, or probably more likely, pull that HTML out of, say, a database field, or pull it from a web service or something, I just have a fragment of HTML. I can load that into the DOM anywhere I want using fragment render. Once again, fragments.render. Okay? The second thing that I can render besides fragment is complete pages. Now, what's the difference between a fragment of HTML and a whole page of HTML? The difference is that a whole page refers to a WinJS page. So that means it's a page with its JavaScript and its CSS, and it's going to have some functionality. It's going to have the ready method and the update layout method and all this functionality to it. So I want to go render that page, in other words, calculate that page, render it, and then put the results somewhere. So I'm going to render a completely different demo. I'm in the fragment demo, but I'm going to render the Flexbox demo that we saw early on in the layout, yesterday in the layout section. I'm going to render it into this div. So let's go look again at fragment.html and see that under my render a page section, I just have a div. And now let's go look at that in the interface. I scroll over and it didn't load. Once again, opportunity for a debug session. So that fragment is not loading. Let's just see why. I'm rendering pages, flexbox, 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 flexbox. That looks good. On the fragment page, page div. Yep, that should completely work. Do you have any idea why the last demo of my two-day series is failing?
I don't know. I noticed the tech guys were doing something.
Oh, there it is. There it is. I just didn't scroll far enough. Thank you. Here it is.
So if you only had a touch screen, that wouldn't have happened.
Do you suppose there's a way that we can get that blamed on the tech guys, though?
No.
All right, so it really did render my Flexbox, and notice it rendered the entire Flexbox page. It rendered the CSS, it rendered the JavaScript, it did the whole thing, and then it just put it right here. So if you know that one of the pages in your app needs to show up somewhere else, you render the page. If you've just got a little snippet of HTML, you just do the snippet of HTML with the fragment render. I think that ends our content.
Oh my land.
Here we are at the end of 2 days worth of HTML, CSS, JavaScript goodness, making Windows 8 apps. I had an absolute blast.
I did too. This has been fun. Whether we've been just going crazy, just pouring over the content, or even answering some of the questions and getting to know some of you through that channel, this has been a really nice, engaging experience, and we really appreciate everyone's involvement. The interactivity has been great. The feedback's been awesome, too.
Yeah.
It's been a really wonderful experience.
There is a poll live right now. I encourage you to go over to the page, scroll to the bottom, and answer that poll for us. That'll really help us out. Is there anything that we should say about the evals?
Just
Vote. Fill out the evals. That'd be great.
Oh, it'll be in their inbox. They'll get an eval link.
Okay.
In their inbox.
Great. So you're going to get a link for an eval. Please fill out those evals. Those help us out a whole lot. We definitely pore over them and, you know, maybe cry a little, maybe rejoice a little. Be honest.
Yeah, but seriously, this has been a great experience. We've had a blast.
Yeah.
I'd love to do this again sometime
in
the future. It'd be very good. This was very fun.
Make sure you follow Palermo4 on Twitter and Code Foster on Twitter, because all of the stuff that we generate and all the stuff that we do and all the events that we have, that's where we're going to be pushing that stuff out. So make sure that you follow us there. Anything else that you want to add? Are there any questions that it looks like we can answer for everybody right now? Or?
Well, let's see if there's a few.
We will pass the 7480 exam now. Yes, you will, Oli. Absolutely.
Let's see. Question, can you render just a portion of a page? I mean, just select a little piece of a referred page.
Yeah, and you can do that with the fragments if... You don't need to calculate that page, but if that page is something that where you want to let the CSS apply and the JS apply and stuff like that, and then just take a piece of it, then by all means render it into something that not directly into the page, but render it into a local DOM control in the JavaScript, and then that is a document you can query select on it. So that would definitely work. Here from Brazil, welcome from Brazil, Andre. Thank you for joining us very much. That's great.
Very cool. Do you recall if anywhere in Code Show there was any input validation and sanitation samples?
You know what? I don't think we have any of that in there right now. There is one link that I showed you on MSDN that is all the differences between a WinJS, like a Windows 8 app using HTML and JavaScript, and a web app. And in there it talks about some scrubbing that happens on to avoid script injection. I don't think you're talking about that, though. I think you're talking about like valid data. So, we don't have an example, but that would be a good one to show.
Yeah. There was a question about what about SOAP requests, and I'm thinking that was probably asked during the XHR questions. And so, of course, you can make the request,
yep.
and you'll get it back as XML. I haven't personally parsed SOAP coming back in, but you can do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So whether it's the hard way or if there's some provision out there that simplifies the digestion of it, you can clearly make those calls.
Yeah. If you use a WCF data service client, the whole job of some of those service clients that we have is to, when it receives a SOAP message, to make it easier on your end to consume that. I don't know what the status is of any of those tools that we might have available for people, but you can look for some client libraries to consume that. Of course, since you're in the JavaScript space, there's going to be a lot of stuff out there available to translate it if that's what you'd like to do. Render an external web page. Well, you can certainly do an XHR and request an external web page. And then if you want to render that, I think you're going to run into some complications, you know?
Although there is a blog post that I wrote on how you can bring in external content to an iframe within, But there's some gotchas, like you were saying. So you can use an iframe to actually render that. Palermo4.com, just do a search on iframe.
Yeah.
And it should pull right up.
Yeah, and also on dev.windows.com, search for the concept of context, because there's the web context and the local context. You can bring things in an iframe and make the iframe kind of seamless so it doesn't even look like it.
Yeah.
But you have to remember that all of the stuff that happens in an iframe is in a different context, a safer context,
right,
so the user doesn't get in trouble.
Sure.
Well, should we go ahead and wrap it up? We've answered a number of the questions here. The rest of them we can go ahead and get offline. But, yeah, I kind of hate to go.
I do, too. It's hard to say goodbye.
It's hard to say goodbye. Thank you for joining. We really appreciate it. And take care.
Cheers.